Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. 7:30 on Tuesday, February 3rd. Good to be with you this morning as we start your day with the Word of God and prayer. And we've got some great conversation as well. Tom Schlund, Director of Communications and Marketing for Ministry Focus, joining us in studio this morning. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Andy.
Good to have you with us here in studio this morning and on this nice chilly morning here in February. Well, tell us, for folks who don't know what Ministry Focus is, what is Ministry Focus? How did it get started?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's sort of the short version and the long version. So maybe I'll give you the short version first, and then we can kind of unpack that. Ministry Focus is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that we've been working at for just over 2 years now. Mm-hmm. And it's focused on helping congregations as they do ministry within their communities, trying to bring the good news about Jesus to those people around them, trying to remove some of the distractions that come up sometimes in ministry. It was primarily focused when it started around the issue of educational debt among professional church workers, and we've sort of branched out to include support for congregational leaders and congregational members.
So trying to remove those distractions, those hindrances, providing a means and support to help remove those.
Right, exactly. And so the way we kind of go about that is for congregational members, we have a newsletter that we publish every week that has sort of ideas, devotions, encouragement, and hope to help them as they share their faith with others. We're developing an online community for congregational leaders to help them exchange ideas. And then really what we're most excited about right now is this Ministry Focus Fund that's meant to help church workers as they pay off their educational debt. I can tell you a story that I told some other folks the other day while I was presenting about this too. This past year here in St. Louis, we've had the opportunity to celebrate the 175th anniversary of Concordia Seminary, which is an exciting anniversary. And it got me thinking about how blessed we are as a synod for the educational opportunities that we have. You know, we have 10 colleges and universities, two fantastic seminaries, and this long history and heritage of educating and training people both to be, or people to do all sorts of things, but to be teachers and pastors and deaconesses and DCEs and other church workers. And, you know, that was one of the most important things when the immigrants first came over from Germany was to set up the school. But a lot has changed in that time. You know, if you come to the seminary campus right now, you'll see the replica of the old log cabin, and that's where they, you know, in a building like that is where they held their first classes. But over the last 175 years, we've expanded, you know, we've moved a couple of times, and education just has continued to change. And one of the unfortunate byproducts in that change that I think everybody's familiar with is the rising cost for education.
Yeah.
You know, we see this in our local communities, elementary schools, high schools, struggle with state funding. You know, what does it look like? What are we going to be able to do? Colleges continue to struggle with that. I think I saw an article the other day that the governor in Wisconsin's cutting $300 million from the Wisconsin system over the next 2 years. And unfortunately, you know, our institutions of higher ed, both the colleges and the seminaries, aren't immune from that either. Costs continue to rise, and we have to find ways to pay for that. And so the funding has sort of changed over time, too. Mm-hmm. The funding sources change, who contributes, and we're blessed within the Synod also to have lots of people who are very committed to this education, but it continues to get more and more expensive. And so what we've discovered a couple of years ago is that this rising cost in education has also had a negative impact on congregations, because church workers, you know, those who may go through our university system and come to the seminary, are then coming out with a significant level of educational debt that they've accumulated in this process. And the debt itself isn't necessarily the problem. Probably everybody who's listening knows somebody who's accumulated educational debt in their process of earning their degree.
Sure.
But the struggle then is, how do you repay it? And how do you do that without being distracted from sharing the good news about Jesus with others? And so that's where Ministry Focus came from. And what we're trying to do is just trying to provide an avenue for people to provide some more assistance to help remove that distraction from the life of people in the congregations.
Well, that's a noble task in and of itself to support the work of church workers so that the good news can continue to be carried out, to be carried to people around the world. And great to see that support being offered for congregations mm-hmm. as well. So how do you do this? How do you do the work of ministry focus? Who's all behind this?
Yeah. Well, the organization actually started off and is being led by five second career seminarians. We're all in our fourth year right now. We all came from different backgrounds before we got to the seminary. Ken, our president and sort of the founder and the one who instigated the whole idea, came out of some experience working in development at two large public institutions of higher education. And he also had some experience as the executive director of the American Red Cross in Arizona. We have people who have, we have one guy who has a law degree, and we have some guy, or a guy with an information technology background. And so it's just this interesting collection of people who came together with a variety of skills, none that duplicate each other, but all that sort of complement each other. And so we started working at this process, and fortunately, we didn't have to come up with this idea on our own. The idea of a loan repayment assistance program, which is really what we're operating through Ministry Focus, is one that's been around for 50 or 60 years, sort of in the secular realm of mm-hmm. things. If you think about doctors or lawyers or teachers even, who the government sees as being important for low-income areas, if you pay your loans, I think it's 10 years, if you make all your payments for 10 years, you can have your loans forgiven or pay a lower rate, so that you can afford to live and provide these important services in lower income areas. And so we just kind of looked around and we said, this is a great program, but it's never really been offered in the church. And mm-hmm. so we took that model of providing assistance to people after they've already graduated and after they're in a place serving, and sort of tweaked it and brought it in kind of to the church realm. And so we've been working on sort of building the foundation, you know, how do we set up an organization? How do we make contacts with people? And we've been in the fundraising mode for the last couple of years, too. And so throughout the course of that, we were actually able to provide our first grants here in December, which is really exciting.
That is very exciting. So this is the first round of grants that you've been able to offer.
It is the first round. Yeah, we've been working really hard for 2 years trying to raise awareness, trying mm-hmm. to get our name out there. Some of your listeners may actually be familiar with us by our old name, the Foundation for Called Workers. I know when we were first launching 2 years ago, I think we were on this program too, sort of talking about what we were trying to do. And we found that people we're a little confused by sure. our name sometimes. And so in that process, we've rebranded ourselves. Ministry Focus helps us to share a little bit more precisely what we're trying mm-hmm. to do and the focus that we place on equipping people for ministry. And so we've been working really hard over 2 years to raise that awareness, to make connections with people, to help people sort of understand where we're at. And we're fortunate to have a number of very generous people who have seen this issue and have decided that they want to be a part of it too. And so they contributed the money necessary that we were able to offer these grants and allow church workers to apply. And then we awarded 15 of them in December, actually.
Wow. Now, give us an idea of where these church workers are. Are they church workers around the country, pastors, deaconesses, DCEs, teachers? What kind of backgrounds? I know you obviously don't want to reveal all kinds of information, but give us an idea of the church workers who are being assisted.
Yeah, definitely. We allowed applications to come in from all over the country. We had over 70 of them. I think it was around 75. And the 15 who were awarded, mostly pastors. There was a couple of Lutheran school teachers and I think a DCE in that mix too, representing seven states. And so we've really kind of started small, but mm-hmm. we hope that we can continue to grow. It's interesting because, you know, sometimes we like to put numbers with the issue. And as we collected the application, one of the things that was on the application was outlining the debt that people had. Because, you know, you want to know what the need is. Plus, it kind of helps us to understand mm-hmm. how big this problem actually is. And so out of that group of about 75 that applied, 58 of them were pastors. And we broke down that debt. Those 58 held a cumulative debt of over $3.5 million.
Wow.
Just from their educational process, undergrad and seminary combined. And so it was kind of startling to see that averages out to be about $60,000 a person. So it's a significant issue and one that really motivates us to keep working and keep pushing forward to try to help people out with this.
Sure. I would imagine the average person, probably the average student today, most likely their average undergrad debt is going to be anywhere from $30,000 to $60,000, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And then if they don't have a lot of assistance when they're going through seminary, basically you can double that.
Right.
Even with some assistance, if you have the other cost of living and that sort of thing, if you have a family, then yeah,
it piles up pretty fast. And that's one of those other things that sort of changed in the seminary education process, I think, over time, too, is that for a long part of our history, it was really only single guys who were at the seminary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been, I don't know exactly the time frame, but the last 40 or 50 years maybe, where you've seen more and more married people coming through and more families. And so the face of the seminarian sort of is changing, and the responsibilities that he has in the educational process has changed. And so it's just changing dynamics,
sure,
I think, that all influence this.
So certainly there is an increase in the number of students who graduate with significant student debt. What does that mean then when they become called church workers, when they serve as a pastor, when they serve as a teacher, a DCE? What does that look like in day-to-day life for them? What are some of the challenges? Well, repaying that student debt, depending on where they, how they borrowed or you know, where they borrowed from, how they repay that can be depending on the type of repayment plan that they have, might be pretty manageable. For some, it might not be so manageable, just depending on their circumstances. So having something like ministry focus to support them in that and supports not only them, but also the congregation as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's a lot of sort of anecdotal evidence that's sort of come about what kind of impact this has, but there's actually an organization out of Indianapolis called the Lilly Endowment,
mm-hmm,
that's been really concerned about, yeah, this issue of church worker debt across the country and across denominations. And they've been working to try to come up with solutions for this too, providing grants and different things, which is actually one of the good news pieces, I think, in all of this, is that both Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne and Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis have received grants from the Lilly Endowment to help address, to study, to understand, to identify solutions for, mm-hmm, the issue of debt. And so I know they've been doing a lot of work in Fort Wayne about this. Here in St. Louis, it's allowed all of the students to take Financial Peace University for free. So getting some training in,
yeah,
budgeting and understanding how money works is really important too. And so there are good things that are coming from the seminaries in this regard. But back to your question about impact on congregations, they've also done research on this. And so you're starting to see more real evidence for the impact that this has. And, you know, we find church workers experiencing burnout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get burnt out worrying about, you know, how am I going to take care of this over here, but also do the ministry that I've been, mm-hmm, called to do. It can lead to marital problems. You know, one of the biggest fights, I think, if you talk to marriage counselors, in just a regular marriage, has to do with finances. And when you connect that to not only finances, but all of the other things that come along with,
sure,
doing ministry, that kind of exacerbates the problem a little bit. It can lead to addictions, you know, trying to deal with the stress that goes along with all of this. And it can lead to shame. I mean, we don't like to talk about debt. We don't like to talk about finances. And so if there are church workers who are struggling with this problem, it can be really hard to talk to anybody about it. And if you don't feel like you have your finances in order, it can be really hard for you to sort of lead the conversation about stewardship in your congregation. You know, how do we act as good stewards of those gifts that God has given to us? If I don't feel like I can even take care of the little small portion that he's given to me specifically. And so congregations then find themselves with church workers who are distracted, who are focused on other things, and not necessarily fully focused on that ministry that's laid out before them.
Well, I want to hear more about ministry focus. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation with Tom Schlund, Director of Communications and Marketing at Ministry Focus. Stick around for more His Time right after this.
Jesus and the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord. Inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO. KFUO embracing today's technologies to bring the good news message of Christ to the world. Listening to worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth or sync up to listen in your car while driving anywhere. There are many easy ways to listen to worldwidekfuo.org. On the air, online, and on demand, the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Are you one of the 1.32 billion Facebook users? More importantly, do you follow Worldwide KFUO on Facebook? When you follow KFUO, you'll learn about upcoming programs and guests. You'll see pictures of the studio and live KFUO events. Go to facebook.com/KFUO radio and click the like button. Then share us with your friends and follow along throughout the day. Liking KFUO radio on Facebook will help you share the faith with your friends and keeps you up to date on what's going on at Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
On the next long gospel, the hymn is called Hail to the Lord's Anointed, but then continues Great David, David's greater son. Who is David's greater son? It was actually a conversation Jesus had with the Pharisees, and we'll have a conversation with Pastor Mark Smith on that issue.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, February 3rd, 7:48 Central Time. I'm talking with Tom Schlund, Director of Communications and Marketing at Ministry Focus. And Tom, before we went to break, we were talking about how Ministry Focus has been able to support church workers and congregations so that the Lord's work is done and done faithfully without trying to eliminate some of those distractions along the way. And you mentioned in the conversation that there are some folks that are on that have gotten on board, that have seen the importance of this and have been willing to step up and support Ministry Focus. Obviously, the more support you receive, the more grants you're able to provide and more resources you're able to provide. How can folks support Ministry Focus? What are the ways that they can support? And then how do we get in touch? How do we find those things?
Yeah, definitely. The first thing we always ask people to do is pray. I think it's important to keep our church workers, our congregations, our leaders in our prayers, to ask God to continue to strengthen and to support them and to encourage them and to give them the strength to keep doing what they're doing, you know, bringing God's good gifts to us on a regular basis. And prayer is something that anyone can do. It doesn't necessarily have to be a financial support. The second thing really is encouragement. And this is one of those things that we try to include in our newsletter from time to time, is thoughts on how to encourage and recognize and to support your called workers in wherever you're at, you know, congregational setting or an organizational setting. Just, you know, remembering to give them a kind word or, you know, some sort of note to let them know that they're appreciated. And that, again, is one of those things that doesn't take any sort of financial investment. But for those who are interested in sponsoring this financially, you can donate actually through our website, which is ministryfocus.org. We have a link to donate on there, and you can make a tax-deductible donation, either a one-time or if you want to make a regular contribution, you're more than able to do that. We've had some people who have put us in their planned giving, so more of their estate plan, and that's definitely a possibility too. We have contact information on the website to talk to somebody who can sort of help you figure out the details for that as you're thinking about that. But one of the things that we also sort of strive to share with people is that we're really here to build awareness. And so if you think that what we're doing is a great way to sort of address this problem, that's awesome. You can donate to us. But you also have the opportunity to donate to seminary scholarships. You know, we don't want to really be competing for this support, because however people want to support, I think, is great. So you can donate to the seminary scholarships at either seminary campus, the Synod's Joint Fund for Seminary Education. There are lots of ways to sort of address this concern that we have, and people can sort of pick whichever one they feel most comfortable with, I suppose.
Absolutely. This isn't a competing organization. We're not trying to compete with other ways to support church workers. And even right in your, as you mentioned, in your own local congregation, there are ways that you can support your church worker. Just a word of encouragement, a word of support, that certainly goes a long way. As a church worker, I know what that's like to hear that from members of my congregation. It's nice to have that support. There are folks every week who say thanks for what you're doing, or how are you this week? Just want to check in and see, you know, if everything's going well, or if there's anything we can help with. It's nice to have that support and encouragement as a church worker.
Yeah, and we know from talking to people about this organization, about how much they love their pastors, how much they love their teachers, their deaconesses, their DCEs. I think we're really fortunate as a synod and as a church body, both for the sort of the caliber of church worker that we have based on this commitment to education that's been such a strong part of our history, but also this care and concern and compassion that those in the congregations every week have for their church workers. And so I think by and far, we have great people who are really interested in encouraging and supporting. And sometimes it just gets to be busy, and you know, we sort of forget to say, hey, you know, thanks for this or that. So it's just another good way to remember that.
You bring up a really good point. I hadn't given that a whole lot of thought, but as a church body, the LCMS has a very educated church workers. I mean, we have some pretty rigorous educational programs to prepare for church work. Now that you mention it, I hadn't really given it a lot of thought, but yeah, all of our church work programs, you know, require, you know, at minimum a bachelor's degree, but many beyond that include, you know, internship and other training along the way. So you're right, the education to become a church worker, to prepare to be a church worker in the LCMS is a pretty significant compared to when you look at other church bodies. It's pretty notable process.
Right.
Well, so we can find information on the website, ministryfocus.org. We can find out how we can support Ministry Focus. And what if you're a church worker looking for support, or a congregation want to find out more for this type of support?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For called workers specifically, right now, just because of the way that fundraising is working, we're sort of on a one-time-a-year grant allocation. And so we allocated these ones in December, or passed them out for 2015. So our next application process will come up next December. And information about that can be found if you subscribe to our newsletter by going to the website. We also have information on the website, or you can even find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ministryfocus. And that's where you can be kept up to date on when applications are out, where you can download them from, how you can submit them, and anything like that. If you go to our website, there's also a contact page, contact information for congregations if they're interested in supporting this work further. I've actually got an email this past week from a congregation that's interested in establishing their own little fund at their church to help support youth from their church that are considering going into church work fields and trying to provide scholarships, and they were looking for information on thoughts on how to do applications and run the whole process. And so we're more than willing to share whatever we've learned throughout this process with people who are interested in providing similar opportunities. And so you can submit the contact form there, or you can email me, tom@ministryfocus.org, and I can connect you with the people within our organization that can help you out in your desire for supporting.
Very good. Since you mentioned Facebook, I had to go on Facebook and find it and click like.
Thank you.
There you go. Now I'm following.
That's great.
I'm on Ministry Focus on Facebook, so it's pretty easy to find. Just go to Facebook, type in Ministry Focus. Mm-hmm. Comes right up.
It's right there.
There we have it. So I'm following you.
That's awesome. Thanks,
I encourage
Andy.
Everybody else to go check it out and follow you on Facebook. And we might find you at some events. I know you and I crossed paths out at Rural and Small Town Mission Conference, maybe at some other events in the coming year. I know it's a busy year for you being a fourth-year seminarian, so yeah. I don't know how much you'll get to travel, but maybe you'll be out at some events. We might see you or other folks representing Ministry Focus at some events in the future.
Yeah, it is a busy year. Ken, our president, and I will actually be at the Best Practices Conference in Phoenix here in a couple of weeks presenting a couple of sessions, but then also having a table set up where we can talk more, you know, kind of one-on-one about the work that Ministry Focus is doing. So we have a sheet that's going to be in the binder that all the conference participants will receive, but also a table where we can have more of those conversations. And so, like going to Rural and Small Town Ministry Conference, we just want to get out there and make connections with people and help them to become familiar with us and find out those ways that they can help to support our congregations and our called workers.
Very good. So if you are at some of the events that going on in the next year and you see the Ministry Focus table, the big Ministry Focus banner, go check them out. Go say hi and get to know these guys. They're doing some great work. Tom, thank you so much for taking time to talk with me today and share about Ministry Focus. I want to point folks to the website and Facebook again, ministryfocus.org, or you can find Ministry Focus on Facebook. And what was your email address again?
tom@ministryfocus.org.
Very good. Go check it out. You can find out more about Ministry Focus, how you can support, or find out how you can support Ministry Focus, or what you can learn from Ministry Focus as well. Stick around. We've got more His Time coming up in just a little bit. We're going to study the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Roderick Hathaway from Trinity Lutheran Church in Winfield, Kansas. Tom, thanks so much for being my guest this morning right here on His Time.
Thanks, Andy.
It was great to talk with you.
You too.
Stick around. We've got AP Radio News coming up in just a little bit. Right after that, our study of the daily New Testament reading. We're going to get into Titus chapter 2 and 3 today. Stick around for more His Time right after this break.